Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Well, you know, we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus. And a priest makes intercession for the people he's priest of. And Israel had a priest in the area, in the lineage of Aaron, which, you know, obviously he was a man that was a sinful man that had to offer sacrifices for his own sin. And it was a very major potential dilemma when he would have to go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, to lay down the blood on the mercy seat, because him being a sinful man, that he might not make it out. Mm-hmm. So much so they put bells on his robes, and then what they, when he would go in there to make atonement, and that's all you had prior to Jesus, atonement, where the sins were covered by the blood of bulls and goats, that if they didn't hear the bells ringing, they also tied a rope to his foot.
Mm-hmm.
You imagine
his
that?
Ankle, yeah.
His ankle. Thank you. Appreciate that. And just above his foot, and to his right toe.
That's cool.
It would tie it to his ankle, and if you didn't hear the bells ringing, so I guess you got to keep moving around. If not, they'd snatch you out.
Yeah.
And that meant that he died in the presence of God. That he, you know, he was obviously did not follow protocol, and covering atonement for his own sins before he walked into the presence of God. And he would go from the holy place to the Holy of Holies. And of course, if he didn't hear the bells ringing on the ends of his robe, that meant that, you know, either he was fallen out under the presence of God and they pulled him out, or he was dead and they would pull him out. That's how serious, just huge.
Wow.
And that was a dilemma, because, you know, men were just being able to cover sin in obedience to God. But when Jesus came, he did not come as a priest in the order of Aaron, but he came in a priest of the order of Melchizedek. And Melchizedek, if you'll go back and study, was the very one that Abraham honored with the first fruits in his life. And Jesus is of the order of Melchizedek, which is a total different priesthood. And he didn't have the blood of bulls and goats. Remember, he was the Lamb of God and is the Lamb of God that was sacrificed on the cross of Christ. And it was his own blood that he, when he went into the Holy of Holies in heaven, because the tabernacle and temple that we have or had at that time on earth was nothing but a shadow of what is in heaven. So he took the reality, not the he walked into the reality of the temple, not the shadow on earth. But he went into the reality with his own blood. With his own blood, after he died on the cross, he was buried in the grave and raised to life by his Father and the Father of those who believe. And he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. But in that whole process, he took his own blood and laid it on the mercy seat. And when he put his own blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, unlike the original Aaron priesthood, which only covered sin, this blood removes sin from existence in your life. It's like it never happened. When this blood can not only doesn't cover sin, it's the forgiveness of sin and the removal of sin as far as the east is from the west, into the sea of forgetfulness. I mean, it's just an unacknowledged, it didn't exist before God. You're restored to God as if you never sinned through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's something so important to understand about our high priest, Jesus Christ. So he is a priest, and what the priest does, the priest talks to God for you, on behalf of you, in the embetterment of you. You know, he explains you to God.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm just glad it's not the Aaronic priesthood explaining us, right?
Yeah, right.
Do him in.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't bring his dove today. Anyway, so, but, yeah, money, yeah. Dangers. Anyway, so Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And the thing about it is, how could, because Jesus is all God and all man. You know, God is his Father and man is his mother, Mary, right? And so he, mm-hmm. He walked in the form of a man, and he did not exercise his Godhead as he did that. And so here he is walking with all the weaknesses and all the difficulties that you and I have. I mean, everything, you know, no matter what religion tells you, I mean, there's lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And everything stems from those three things. Mm-hmm. And then you get off into the okra principles and preferences and stuff. But sin is sin. And he was tempted. Jesus, because he was all man and chose not to exercise his Godhead, but yet he became a servant. Think about it. He was tempted. All these things that are happening to you today, they were happening in your life and happened in other people's life where you know, you're trying to connect. You can't relate to that, what that person's going through. Matter of fact, you might be judging the other person because you're thinking, because you haven't been tempted that way, you can't even connect. Why would anybody ever have that issue or struggle with drug addiction or whatever, pride? And and so, but Jesus was tempted in every way, which means his flesh was pulled at in every direction that ever could be pulled at. He was tempted this way, that way, this way. And yes, I know you're thinking, and I answer the question, yeah, that way too. Because every way is every way. But there's empowerment in that. The first of all, you know, it was the test of his confidence in God. You know, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered with loud cries and petitions. He cried out to God, the one that could save him from death. And once his obedience was complete, he became a source for eternal life. So he went through that agony, way more agony than we go through, because he didn't make any mistakes. I mean, all those things pulled at him, and he didn't give in to them. He didn't give in to them. And because he didn't give in to them, and he did sprinkle his blood on the cross, on the mercy seat, and we receive what he did for us in our place, then it's like we walked that walk with him. Mm-hmm. And when God looks at us, he sees his son. He sees his son's blood and his son's sacrifice, and he accepts us if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. That's why it's called good news. Mm-hmm. It's called good news. But in his journey, as he was being pulled in every way, there's something that he was able to do now. Because remember, he's a high priest who's interceding for you and me. He's explaining us to God. Mm-hmm. I mean, thank God somebody can explain me. Mm. You know, right? No, thank Jesus.
Yeah.
And so now when I say all that, now that you hear this, you can understand what the writer of Hebrews, when he writes about it in chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, he says, listen, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize. And that's what I'm really talking about here, is empathy. Unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Think about it. But we have one, so we do have one, who has been tempted in every way. Everything that is anything pulled at him. And so he understands the tug. He understands the pull. He understands the default setting of flesh and then what could happen. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He just understands that. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, and tempted every way just like we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that solves it in regards to, is it you? Yet he didn't sin. So if you're being tempted with something, doesn't mean you've sinned. It doesn't mean you've sinned. It means that you're being tempted. Mm-hmm. So the enemy's so really taking a lot of people down because they think I'm supposed to be perfect, and then these things aren't supposed to come my way. Mm-hmm. And why would I be having a thought like that? It's called a fiery dart. Or why would my flesh be pulled that way? And they think, well, I've already sinned. It's like, no, that's the temptation. Mm-hmm. You know, with every temptation, God provides a way out. Mm-hmm. And so you just got to begin to look for the way out. And the way out, of course, is your total dependency on the finished work of the cross of Christ. You turn to his and just trust in God, and especially in a moment of deep temptation when the enemy is trying to just take you down. But yeah, he has this empathy. And then because of his intercession and explaining us, he can explain us to God. He can say, well, let me, you know, this is John. Let me, Father. And then he'll just start saying, you know, mm-hmm. this is important.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're thinking nobody understands me, I can tell you right now, Jesus understands you. And understand this. You say, well, God knows everything. Well, God does not connect with, and sin cannot even exist in his presence. So he understood the answer. The answer was his son. Jesus helped him understand the question. You know, why would you even do something like this? Mm. And so God took on the form of a man and the weakness of sinful man so that he could feel that tugging and pulling, and then he could understand, oh, but yet he did it without sin. And so now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, experiencing all these tugs and pulls. And so God looks at him and thought, you know, what is his problem? Mm-hmm. You know, what's his problem? Mm-hmm. And Jesus goes, well, you know, that tugged at me. You know, this connects to that, that connects to this. You know, she didn't have a father in her life, and this didn't happen here, or this was going on there, and this was happening there. And then I could just see God going, oh, mm-hmm. I got it. And then he already knows the answer. Because mm-hmm. It is the answer. He's already dealt with it already. And so that's intercession, you know, it's intercession for us. And so that lets us know, hey, we got this thing going on for us. So he says in 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mm. Listen, we're not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And because he's Jesus and because he loved God so much, he was willing to lay down his life. And he loved you and me so much, he was willing to forego the cross for the joy set beyond the cross to be able to have a relationship with us, to be all man forever and all God forever, to be able to talk to God about us so we could be the bride, his bride, that God, his Father, would give to him as spotless bride because of his blood of the bridegroom. This is an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. But he empathized. And when we get back in this breakup, I'm going to tell you, empathy is so important, and that's lacking in the church today. And we got to begin to say, you know what, God, I want to walk as you walk. I want to empathize with others. Talking about empathy and understanding how powerful that is so powerful that God said, I need to send my son to empathize with my creation so that he can explain us to him. I mean, you understand, he knows the answer. The answer, obviously, is Jesus. At just the right time, he offered the answer, and Jesus was willing to be the answer because he loved and loves God, and he loves us, and he is the answer. But understanding the question, you know, why does he do that? Why does she do that? What is that sin nature? What is the, what in the flesh, you know, why do they give in? Why do they? And so he begins to explain that. Mm-hmm. And so empathizing, when you think about empathy, empathy is so important that God wanted to make sure that he could empathize with us. And you think about it, you know, part of healing someone, and God wants to heal us, part of healing someone, and part of that healing could be deliverance, you know, from something that's just really held someone down, is two parts, two significant things. One is part of healing someone is hearing someone. Most people, even though they talk a lot, they may blog a lot, they may Facebook a lot or Twitter a lot or whatever. The truth is they don't feel like anybody's hearing them. As I hear people say, they go, well, I'm just seeing how many people like my post, and they just feel some sort of value by that means somebody listened to them.
Right.
Wow.
And
or liked them, right?
Or yeah, liked them. That's the word I think that's used. And people desperately want to be heard. And where Satan has blinded so many is that they don't understand God not only heard, but he sent his son to walk to understand the language and to understand the language of flesh and body and darkness and temptation so that he can hear you more clearly. I mean, he was looking. That's what he wanted to do, and he is doing. He's hearing you very clearly, and empathy. And so part of healing someone is hearing them, and then when you hear them, is empathizing with them, and thirdly, not agreeing with what's going on, just empathizing with them. You can empathize with someone without agreeing with them, and then after that, you tell them the truth, whatever the truth is, in love, in the whole situation. One good example is this of empathy is imagine this particular single mother. She has a child, and she's going through some financial struggles, and she goes to the grocery store and she buys some food for her and her baby, and some baby food. And she puts it all up on the counter, you know, all the little jars and stuff, and she's pulling out her change to pay for it, and she realized, you know, it wasn't enough. And so the store clerk says, you know, you're going to have to put some of this back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so she puts some of the food back, and it's just, I mean, obviously you can imagine how this mother's feeling. And she goes to work the next day, and she tells her boss, listen, I'm going to need a raise. And of course, pretty much, you know, it used to be this way in the business room. The boss says, because he knows the economy of the business, he knows, or she knows how much money they're making in the company, the boss, whoever the boss is, man or woman. And said there's not enough money to be able to give a raise.
Mm-hmm.
And so the boss says, well, I'm sorry, honey. There's not going to be raises this year because things are really tough. And then she walks away devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they both said what was right, but there was something missing in that whole thing. Listening, empathizing, and then sharing truth in love.
Right.
And this is, as the church, that's what we need to do. Don't just jump to truth. You know, first care about me. First care about me. Jesus said, what can I do for you? He didn't jump in there and just all of a sudden say, do this, do that, do this. He said, what can I do for you? And if an employee, and so this would be empathy. This would be a whole reset of the whole thing. And so the mother comes into her boss and says, listen, I need a raise. And so the boss would say, come on in my office and let's sit down, let's talk a little while. I mean, obviously something, it could have been a million things if she made it to that point to come into your office and say, I need a raise. I mean, there's a lot behind that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You owe it to the one who's been working for you to listen. And you just want to just open things. It's like, obviously something has happened here. I need, and it could be a million things, but mm-hmm. this is her unique story. You know, something's happening. I want to hear it. I'm putting everything aside.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on? Something's happening. So she begins to say, I'm just not making enough money. Well, but something happened. I mean, what happened? And she says, and you know, you make an environment conducive to her wanting to share it because it's a pretty vulnerable thing. And you just say, you can tell me, you can talk to me. Listen, we've been working together now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, how's your baby doing? You know, because mm-hmm. you're empathizing with them. You know that she has a baby. And she says, I was in the store last night and I went in there just to get some baby food, like 28-cent can baby food. And because of my power and the rent and all the things that are going on right now, I didn't have any money left, and I was sitting there with my baby in one arm, counting my change with my other arm, and I had to put 4 cans of my baby food back.
Mm.
And now he's heard it. Mm. And so now he's got to pause and say, okay. He needs to put himself in her shoes. And this is what God did for us. He put himself in our shoes and begin to think about, you know, what would it be like? And a proper response, if it's true, if you put yourself in her shoes, would be, I could only imagine how painful that had to be and how humiliating that had to be and how devastating it had to be because it's your baby. It's your baby's food. I mean, these demands in your life. And here you were, I mean, not only that, but here you're having to carry your child. You're trying to count coins out to be able to just get a small cans of baby food. And I am so sorry that you had to go through that. I really am. And I can totally understand what you're saying here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just must crush you walking out of that store knowing that you weren't going to have enough baby food for that week mm-hmm. to be able to feed your baby. And I want you to know that, you know, I'm going to make a point today to see that you get some food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to have some food this week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the company, look what we're doing, You know, I appreciate what you've been doing for this company, and you have legitimate needs. You have legitimate needs, and we need to look at that. And if this company can meet those needs and we can stay in the state that we are, you know, I'm open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't, I'm open to the fact of letting you know and working with you to be able to get what you need. Mm-hmm. And so let's just get together next week and make sure before this day's out, because I've already got somebody, I didn't tell them who it was for, but I got them buying an entire bag full of all sorts of Gerber baby food. So you're going to have baby food for, you know, a whole month here. And I just want you to know, though, but I'm sorry you had to go through that. And so, man, she's like, you're feeling her. And so you're not, you know, you just, that's how it is. And then the next week comes along, you look at your books, the economy like it is today, and you realize not only can you not give her a raise, but it's a miracle that you're keeping people on payroll. So you, as a business owner, have to humble yourself and realize you could be about to lose a real good employee that you had for 10 years, but you're going to have to be honest with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you invite her back in the office, and then you first begin to talk to her about how things are going. How's the baby doing? Did you get the food? Was it the right kind of food? And you just talk a while. And then you say, well, I've looked it all over and I just want to show it to you. This is what I found out. I found out that the truth is when the economy's going right now, that there's just not enough money to even really make payroll right now. Really, we're really pushing things to make payroll now. But I want you to know this. I will work with you. I will work with you and pray for you, by the way, in getting a job that meets your needs, because you need your needs met. You should not have to go through that again. And you'd be surprised in that. And this is the God that we serve. This is how he treats us. He's able to empathize with our weaknesses. And if we as the church begin to listen and begin to empathize, then we can share truth. And you know what? She very well may say, you know, I'm willing to go through this. I can make some adjustments to where I'm living. I can make some other adjustments. But because you care about me, because you stand with me, I'm going to stand with you. Empathy. We need it. Empathy. Such an important thing. We always want to receive it, but we got to learn how to give it. You know, whatever we sow, we reap. And, you know, think about that. Empathy. I mean, it's what God has done in the context of empathize with me.
Feel your pain?
I feel your pain.
Oh, I mean, it's so important, man. It's so needed.
I know people that became president because they were able to go, I feel your pain.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. That was one of his things was, I feel your pain. I know what you're going
just like
through.
Jeez.
I know what you're going through right there. And I'm serious. And people go like, he feels my pain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he felt it or not, he said he felt it.
That's right.
He became the president of the United States.
Yeah, it's so important, man, because it's so easy to get caught up in what's going on in your own life, and you don't take the time to pause and just really understand and get yourself out of your own situation to really think about how other people are interpreting, what's their perception. You know, perception is reality, but yet and still it's their reality.
Your perception is your reality.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's what people are experiencing and facing and seeing. And what brings me great hope and comfort is to know that Jesus can totally, absolutely empathizes with, you know, with me and my life and whatever's happened. We can be like the Lord when we take time just to empathize with other people. But you got to get yourself off your mind. You really got to care about people. You got to stop your own agenda.
Empathizing with yourself, right?
Say it again?
You got to stop empathizing with
yourself.
Yeah,
with yourself, yeah. Right. I'm going to stop empathizing with myself, and I'm going to empathize with you.
I feel my pain.
Right. Well, it's everywhere, but
when you think about it, you know, when you look at the wisdom of Solomon, and we're just continuing on empathy to grab it, because we have Jesus who's able to empathize with us. He walked in our shoes and can feel our pain and was tempted in every way. But Solomon says, I've tried everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've tried everything under the sun. And he could speak to wisdom over all these different things because he walked in all these situations.
Mm.
You know, he said, vanity, vanity. I've seen it. I've done it. Listen to me, and you could empathize with it. T.D. Jakes says, you know, I don't even trust a man that doesn't limp.
Mm. Yellow.
I don't even trust a man, because a man who doesn't limp hasn't been through nothing. If you ain't been through nothing, you haven't walked through nothing, and you can theorize that you're empathizing with somebody, but mm-hmm. it's not until you've gone through something. You know, mm-hmm. I used to say, get over it until I got under it and realized it's not that easy to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just go, you know what? You know, that you got to pause and just realize that you have not had everybody's experiences, and you have to begin to say, you know, I need to help. If I'm going to really love this person, I've got to listen to the point, like, God, give me your heart for this person. And when you're getting God's heart for this person, you're beginning to feel their pain and empathize with them. I mean, God's letting you feel what they're going through. And that's the point when you start seeing the power of God move. And that's when you start seeing miracles and signs and wonders, because God's in that. God's in that connection of carrying each other's burden, feeling that pain, and wanting something to be done with it. And if you want to see, you know, the fullness of the kingdom of God manifest in your life, seek it first. But once you're abiding and walking with the Lord, and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, begin to empathize.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Practice empathy. Walk in empathy, which is love. You know, part of loving me is hearing me, and part of healing me is understanding and empathizing with me. But I love that. T.D. Jakes says, I don't even trust a man if he doesn't limp.
Mm.
Right?
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesus was willing to come down on this earth and begin to limp.
Mm.
And the weakness of human flesh. And because of that, and he didn't sin,
mm-hmm.
that he can sit at the right hand of the Father now and explain our limps.
Mm-hmm.
He can explain it.
Yeah.
He mm-hmm. can explain it. And that's where the church, and when you begin to empathize with each other, and that's why the way that we do church, the way that we are the family of God, is important. If we don't take time to relate as the family of God, we're not going to have empathy. If you don't spend any time with your natural family, you're not going to have any empathy for your natural family. If you stay divided and everything you do is divided, and you don't come together up under what God has said to do in your family, you know, empathy is going to be missing. And you may walk around as a teenager thinking, like, nobody's listening to me, nobody's doing this, but hey, are you getting in there, being part of the family, and understanding that you got to begin to be authentic and transparent and talk about what you're going through so people can empathize? You know, give them a chance to reject you before you reject them and judge them and say they're not empathizing, because then you need to begin to tell them what's going on in your life, you know, and just begin the conversation. And sometimes I always joke around, you know, anything to start the conversation. I mean, if things are stuck, sometimes you just got to do anything. Yeah, I remember years ago and going through those kind of tensions that you go through in the early days of marriage, and you know, you're trying to communicate and all that kind of stuff. And you said, well, we got to talk about this. And so, because we weren't talking,
mm-hmm.
I'd actually walk in the house, and I'd look at Donna and I'd go, I forgive you, which is not what you do. But it just kind of breaks the ice,
right.
And all of a sudden, whatever mm-hmm. happens at that point, at least you're talking.
Right.
At least you're talking. I remember I was in a situation where there was a family that just hadn't talked in years, and the enemy just had them all bound up, and they weren't talking, and so the devil was talking for them, and it wasn't good what he was saying about each other. And the context of that, and for the very first time, they started talking. And it wasn't lovely talk. It was like, you, and they're all talking to each other, right? And all of a sudden, and I was just like, ooh, they're talking. This is wonderful. Even though it wasn't, you know,
encouraging.
It wasn't godly.
It wasn't flowery.
It wasn't godly conversation.
All right.
And so all of a sudden, one of them says, this is not doing anything. We just need to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, this is good. Finally, after 20 years, you're talking. Let's just keep it going. Eventually, you know, this well is going to
run dry.
Clean water is going to come out as well if you just keep letting it run. And sometimes you just got to let it out. And all of a sudden, you know, all the dirt and everything cleans out of the well and fresh water begins to flow. But if you just let all that dirt pack down and all that darkness and all those lies and judgments and all these different things, and if you don't open your mouth, if don't communicate. You know, you're just bound. You're just totally bound. And everything comes through the spoken word. It comes through the spoken word, good and bad. And he said, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are spirit. And so if you want to be free, when Jesus asks you the question, what do you want from me? You're going to have to open your mouth. Oh, that I can see. Mm-hmm. I want to be free. I don't want to be bound. I want to be delivered. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered from rejection. I want to be whatever, you know, and then God begins to move. But if you aren't willing to do that, and sometimes if you haven't talked with your mouth for a long time, because your heart's been shouting, by the way, God knows what's in our heart. I mean, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It might not come out too good. So you want to be around somebody you won't get infected when you start talking, that they understand that the stuff, that's a nice word, is coming out of your mouth at that moment. It's just stuff that kind of plugged your well. And then once that comes out, underneath that, pure water is going to begin to flow. Mm. Pure water is going to begin to flow. And a lot of people aren't willing to do the work it takes to get the well clean. And sometimes it means, you know, I got to confess my sin. And when we look at the revival that took place in 1907 in Pyongyang, North Korea, it began with confession. They confess their sins one to another, like James chapter 5. Mm-hmm. And just beginning to begin to talk about the dirt that's in your life, talk about the things that clogged you up. And God begins to just deliver you and forgive you and heal you on top of that, because you've confessed them. And that's what comes. When you confess your sins to God, you're forgiven. But when you confess them to men, I mean, obviously the right man, mm-hmm. then you're healed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The wrong man, it can be really bad.
You're hung, yeah.
Yeah. And so, but there's just something to that. So I just want to encourage you, begin to let conversation flow. And if the beginning of the conversation flows, you know it's not going to be good. You got to prepare them and say, listen, I know what I'm about to say is not right, but this has been in my heart for quite some time and I need to get it out. And as you begin to speak it out, then that's when you and everybody begins to say how ungodly what's been locked in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can realize that's sin, that's wrong, that's darkness. And you can say, God, forgive me for even thinking that way or believing these judgments or the lies of the enemy. And then you're free. But some people are just plugged up. You know what I'm saying? They're the counterfeit crew that are walking around like everything's all right on the outside, but they're full of it, right? They're full mm-hmm. of things they should have gotten rid of. And it's real difficult, by the way, for you to live this life and walk it out, because you're walking around with that plug inside of you. You can never fully be yourself, and you can never fully flow, because you got all that junk between the pure water and your reality. And that has to be dealt with at the cross, has to be dealt with by getting it out. And you got to unplug your well. You got to unplug your well, because if the church will begin to speak the things of God, and speak what God says about you to you and to your family and to the church and people around you, people are going to be encouraged, because God loves you and God has a plan for your life. But if what you have plugged down, blocking that out, is judgment toward that person and hatred towards that person and criticism towards that person, then the other thing's never going to get out. It's dammed up the flow of God's pure, encouraging, fruitful, life-giving word is damned. It's blocked. And God will free us up and bust those dams if we deal with them and confess our sins, you know, and confess the reality of what's plugging our wells. And it's amazing. Then we can begin to empathize and begin to walk this out. And we can have a lot of empathy, because we can say, hey, that was me. You know, that's how I walked in that. And so I just want to encourage you, don't just say, hey, the world needs to empathize with me. Begin to be a doer of God's word and empathize with others. You'll be surprised. You become smaller and God becomes bigger and Jesus becomes glorified. And you find out, you know what? I wasn't necessarily that important in the whole
mm-hmm.
equation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that he must increase and I must decrease. The more I focus on him and others, the more he takes care of me. Right?
That's good.
That's right.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so, so true.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving or how you, your business or ministry, can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.